Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. On this election day, hopefully many of you have voted. If you haven't, the polls are open until 8 o'clock tonight, and you can vote between now and then if you haven't already voted and exercise your right, and we strongly urge you to do that. It's what makes this one of the many things that makes our country very special. So hopefully you will get out and do that. I know Kevin's already voted 8 times today and was turned away 7. So, I mean, that shows the system is working. Today, our phone line is at 1-800-795-9565. It is the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. And don't forget, we are at beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bill O'Brien's press conference was today. We'll have some excerpts from that to play for you today as well. A little bit later in the week, Greg Sharp, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska football, is going to join us. We're also going to jump in, take a look at Penn State women's volleyball later in the week, and Nittany Lion basketball opening up, Bucknell basketball opening up. Penn State has St. Francis, while Bucknell has the Boilermakers of Purdue. Joe Susan and company looking for their second consecutive win. They go to Georgetown this week. Milton and Shikellamy play again in the Kevin Herr Bowl because it's playoff time. And not only that, he has to do no prep work for the game. It's the same game he did the other night. Location may have changed, but it's the same game. You know? And in the end, when it comes to the ease of life, it's all about our man, Kevin Ben Hur. Again, our number 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Looking forward to hearing from you and talking with you and hearing from the Bill O'Brien press conference at 3:35. But first, Above the Noise with Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on the show. And we're very pleased to be joined, and we're going to make this a regular feature to get in Dave Paulson, the head basketball coach at Bucknell. And Dave, first of all, welcome. It is great to have you on board.
Well, it's great to be on, Steve, and it just means it's the start of college basketball, so we're excited and ready to get rolling.
Purdue, huh?
Yeah, we're starting off.
Do you want me to give you a scouting report? Because I think I've seen them more in person than you have.
you probably have seen them more in person. Now, the good news is we've seen a couple of their exhibition games. They've been on the Big Ten Network, and they're going to be really, really good. But I'm glad to know we're not going to have to guard Robbie Hummel, that's for sure.
Ooh, boy, yeah, Robbie. In fact, Robbie is getting back into action in Spain, as a matter of fact. So that's what he's going to be doing. And, yeah, and Lewis Jackson as well. I want to talk about your team first. How has it come together since mid-October for you in practice? Because you have a veteran team. That doesn't always mean there's carryover. So has there been carryover?
Well, there's been a lot of lot of good carryover, and it's been a lot of fun. You know, I think our veteran guys are very focused and very serious about wanting to do well. So there's been a good energy level and intensity level. And having a veteran team, we've been able to, you know, really push them harder than, you know, we've ever pushed the team here at Pucknell and try to get to more nuances defensively and offensively. And now we want to go against other people. So, I think our guys are in, you know, relatively healthy. They've worked hard. Chemistry's good. And now it's a matter of getting out and going against a really, really challenging non-conference schedule.
Yeah, no, and you set up that non-conference schedule. When you put it together, did you have a veteran team in mind as to how you put it together? Because you'd like to roll up some RPI points if possible.
Well, I think, you know, again, obviously you think in the back of your mind with a team that has a chance to be good, you schedule a little bit with the RPI in mind. But more than that, you know, that's the way we tried to schedule all the time. It's certainly the way Pat Flannery tried to schedule when he was here. You know, you want to play against the best. Our guys come to Bucknell to try to really challenge themselves nationally in the pre-conference schedule and, you know, get in different parts of the country. And so that was the main thing. And we're very excited. We've got some really marquee home games this year. And scheduling home games is always a challenge. So, you know, we think it's just going to prepare us for Patriot League play.
Yeah, I mean, no question about that. And the Patriot League is going to be a challenge, as everyone knows. Give me an idea, though, about the kind of preseason Mike Muscala's had.
Well, Mike, you know, continues to get better. And the thing that you love about Mike is every year, you know, we give him one or two things that he's got to really attack to get better at. And he comes back, and he's done that. And, you know, he's continued to get stronger. He's playing strong around the basket, continues to develop his perimeter game. And he just competes with such intensity and passion every day. You know, it's really exciting.
Yeah, and that part is exciting because what does he bring to the table as a big man that an ordinary big man does not bring to the table?
Well, I think this is versatility, you know, that he's become a really good low post threat. You know, when he first got to Bucknell, he was just so skinny that he couldn't really score in the post, but he's a terrific low post threat with his right hand, with his left hand. But his ability to shoot the jump shot, you know, he's going to shoot a few more threes, I think, this year than last year. He's a great passer. So, you know, we play through him. So many teams play through their point guard or their two guard, and we really play through our front court guys. He and Joe Willman, who's one of the smartest players I've ever coached.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about Joe Willman, because when you look at him, what kind of glue guy is he to what you want to do?
Well, he's really a glue guy. You know, one of the things we challenge him is, you know, I think he's a great blender. You know, he can blend with any style and any guys in the court, and that's a great attribute. And what we said, Joe, we want you to blend a little less, though, this year. You know, that he's a terrific scorer in his own right, but he's just so smart. He makes the right pass. He understands the angles offensively. He's our best talker on defense. And he just, you know, he's really instrumental in allowing Mike to do the types of things Mike can do, because it's very hard for the opposing four man, you know, to really help much off of Joe, or Joe's going to be a real threat.
I mean, Joe scores when he needs to score, obviously. Has it been difficult, though, for you to look at him and say, Joe, you can score more? I mean, and I tell a story about the 2004 World Series when David Ortiz looked at Manny Ramirez and he said, you know, a home run in the postseason counts too. And then Ramirez went out and hit one. Same thing with Joe. Do you always have to tell him sometimes, hey, Joe, you can score too?
Yes, yeah. And that's the thing. We really challenge him to be aggressive and look for his own offense, you know, as long as he's not taking bad shots. And he has been more aggressive in the preseason practice and, you know, I think with a lot of good results.
Yeah, and give me an idea. You mentioned about talking on defense. You and I know the value of that, because if you don't communicate on defense, then you're sunk. Have you seen with a veteran team that they have that concept down?
Yes, I mean, for the most part, and there's a big gap. You can really tell the difference between the veteran guys and the newer guys who are going to be good players. But, you know, the level of different ball screen coverages and our rotations, we've been able to become pretty sophisticated because these guys have been around for a while and have learned the system and know how to talk. So I think in terms of our rotations and coverage areas, you know, we're as good as we've been. Now the problem is individually, you know, we lack that one defensive stopper that we've relied on for the last 4 years in Brian Cohen. And that, you know, that's an area of concern because, you know, to be able to go in our league, clearly a guy named, you know, C.J. McCollum, to be able to really limit his effectiveness, but also some of the great perimeter players that we're going to play against, you know, throughout the season, we need our team defense to be strong, but we need an individual guy to just say, hey, put me on that kid, and I'm going to really make his life miserable. We, you know, to be very honest with you, Steve, we haven't found that guy yet.
Right. Cameron Ayers. Here's a guy, second-team All-Patriot last year, 6'5", and he can defend. What do you like about him, and could he be that guy you're talking about?
Well, he could be that guy, you know, and we've challenged him to be that guy, and, you know, he's got that ability, and part of that, you know, it's a mindset. And Cam is a little bit like Joe Wallman in the sense that he's a great blender, you know, he's smart. You know, when he came in as a freshman, you'd think he was a senior. He was so just poised and made the right play and made the right decision. And he blends in and knows that we're going to play through Mike. But, again, with him, we want him being a little more aggressive on the offensive end. And we want him to be, you know, take the challenge of being our defensive stopper on the defensive end. Now, that's a hard combination.
Yeah.
Brian Cohen, you know, to a large degree, could just really focus on the defensive end and know that we had other guys really scoring and picking up that burden. I don't know that Cameron will be a guy who gets 40 minutes on the other team's best perimeter player just because that's going to take so much out of him. So we're going to need Bryson Johnson, who's not been known for his defense,
right, but
has worked really hard and improved in that area, to take a stab at it. We need our point guards to take a stab at that guy. So I think we're in the past, you know, Brian Cohen would be on a kid like C.J. McCollum for 40 minutes. It might be 20 minutes of Cameron Ayers and 20 minutes of a committee assignment.
Right. You go into a place like Mackey, for example, but your team has gone places and they've played well on the road, most notably of late, obviously going into McHale and beating Tucson and Arizona in the opening round of the NIT. A road mentality is special. Do you sense that your team and being around them, because they are veterans, that they have that mentality to go into somebody else's building and still perform the way Bucknell needs to play?
I think so. You know, we'll find out for sure on Friday, but they certainly did at the end of last year. And, you know, at the beginning of last year, we played in Minnesota. We were up by 5 late in the game, or up by 3 with 5 minutes to go, I think it was. And you know, I don't know if the guys really completely knew that they could win that game. And we had George Mason on the ropes. We didn't know if we could win that game. And at Arizona, they played the whole way knowing they could win that game. And I think they have that mentality that, you know, we have a tall task with Purdue, a terrific team and one of the best coaches in America. But I think our guys have a lot of confidence, and I don't think they're going to come unglued with the 13,000, 14,000 people there that are at Mackey.
Right. E.J. Bird, Tyrone Johnson, a couple guys, you know, front court, back court, and threes. Give me an idea of the difficulty that they cause in matchups against your team.
Well, you know, part of it is they're a little bit of a team in flux where they've got some very talented freshmen. You know, I think are playing like freshmen, and they're very talented. There's a kid named A.J. Hammonds, a 7-foot kid, who's been very impressive in their exhibition games. You know, probably his condition level isn't where Coach Painter wants it to be, but he is a load around the basket, 7 feet with a good touch. They've got a freshman point guard who's very dynamic, actually Tyrone Johnson's brother. You know, so I think they play actually very similar style to us. They're just a little bit bigger, a little more athletic. I don't think they have anyone quite as good as Mike at this point.
They don't.
But I think it's a fairly even matchup, although at every position we might be giving up a half a step of quickness and 10 or 15 pounds in terms of strength. So a lot of it will be how we can handle their defensive pressure. I think that will be a key because we really can't replicate that in practice on a daily basis.
Yeah, and like, I completely understand. When they get half court on you, they overplay, and that's something that'll be interesting to watch on Friday night. Your kids will handle it, but it's just it'll be interesting to see it though. Hey, Dave, thanks. Dave, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you as often as possible this season because I'm excited about the product that you're going to bring to the table.
All right, thanks, Dave. Great to be on the show.
Yep, you bet. Dave Paulson, head basketball coach at Bucknell. I'll tell you right now, they are going to have. I'm excited about what Dave can do with Bucknell basketball this year. It's a great start at Purdue. Be a lot of fun. News is next. Is there something important happening today? There's some buzz going around. We'll find out in the news.
Your information source. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Boy, it's great having Dave Paulson on. It was Bucknell starting their basketball season. And Dave's going to be a regular feature on the show, courtesy of what Sarah was able to do. We're at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget, of course, about the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. So, Sarah.
Yes.
Something happening today?
In addition to, you know, all the sports talk, apparently it's election day. So it begs the question, did you vote?
I voted at 7:15 this morning.
Well, there you go.
Took care of that right away.
Great. Polls are open until 8 tonight.
And early voting's been great. I voted in Illinois, Iowa, Virginia, Indiana. I mean,
wow.
No road trip to Nebraska this weekend. I could have voted there, too.
That's great. Wow. I hope your candidate wins. Wow.
Oh, no. I spread the wealth.
I thought so. You've always been so generous.
Now, I was a little fuzzy on some of the row races in some of the states. A little fuzzy. So I may not have given, like, the attorney general's race in Indiana.
Right. The auditor general weren't so sure. Eh, that's okay.
Yeah. In Iowa, wasn't quite sure. Pretty confident on how I voted on the farm director in Iowa. I was pretty confident about that.
Well, hey, that's an important job out there.
Please. No kidding. In fact, we did the America's Need Farmers game.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
In Iowa, they designate one game, America Needs Farmers. And it's fabulous what they do with it. That was important. And no, I didn't vote in other states.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you had some fun facts that you sent me about elections.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's see what the fun facts.
If we want to mix sports and politics and sports and the elections, there's always some silly, superstitious things. And I love sports superstition, so that's great.
Well, some of this stuff is just, okay, incredible. All right, let's talk about the Redskins. I feel bad for Roger, by the way. Drove down to Landover to watch that.
It was a rough one.
Ooh. This Carolina's not very good. Okay. Though the Washington Redskins may not have the most stellar record in the NFL, when it comes to predicting election results, they are practically undefeated. Since 1936, the superstition has held that if the Redskins won their last home game before the election, the incumbent would stay in power or party. That doesn't bode well. They lost on Sunday.
Right. So prediction there, Romney.
But we balance it. with Alabama and LSU. This is remarkable. The rule states that if Alabama wins the matchup between the two rivals, a Democrat wins the White House. But if LSU wins, a Republican wins. So let's see how it's played out. 1984. LSU beat Alabama 16-14. Ronald Reagan won in a landslide over Walter Mondale. 1988. LSU won again, beat Alabama 19-18. George H.W. Bush beat Michael Dukakis. There's a great Saturday Night Live skit. I don't know if you ever saw this, sir. And Bill O'Brien and I get into these Saturday Night Live skits. Springsteen was in last week, so I'll tell you two of them. One was John Lovitz was playing the role in the debate of Michael Dukakis. And Dana Carvey was playing the role of George Bush in the debate. So they go over to Lovitz, and he's doing the Dukakis thing about just reciting every stat, the whole thing, complete command, blah, 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 you know, number here, number there. And then they go over to Dana Carvey, and he says, no new taxes, 1,000 points of light. No new taxes, 1,000 points of light. No new taxes, 1,000 points of life. And they cut back to Lovitz, who's playing Dukakis, and he looks over and says, I can't believe I'm losing to this guy. The other one was the one that I told Bill the other night. Springsteen was in town here on Thursday night. There were a lot of people at Damon's that we had Thursday that were going to go to the Springsteen concert. And Bill O'Brien's a big Bruce Springsteen fan. And I told him the one about Saturday Night Live where Joe Piscopo is playing the role of Frank Sinatra. And this was the time when Sinatra was putting out his duets album, or CD, Sarah.
Ah, yes, for us youngins, got it.
Yeah, got it. And so Sinatra was famous for almost speaking the words, but then adding in a couple of lines, right? He says, and now time for my duets. I can't do the impersonation, but I'll at least fake some. He says, time now for duets. Here is my personal friend, my very personal friend, Mr. Bruce Springsteen. And they start singing Born to Run. And he says, cats like us, baby, we're born to run. And then Sinatra goes, let's jog, baby. Yes. Back to Alabama, LSU. Bill Clinton won in 92 and Alabama won. Beat George Bush. 96, Bill Clinton won re-election in a landslide over Bob Dole. Alabama won 26-0. But then in 2000, LSU beat Alabama 30-28. A close game, just like the election. George W. Bush beat Al Gore. 2004, LSU won again, beat Alabama 26-10. George Bush beat John Kerry. In 2008, Alabama won 27-21. Barack Obama beat John McCain. We know that Alabama rallied and beat LSU on Saturday night. So if you're thinking, if you're wondering, we're not done yet, though. We go to baseball next. And in baseball, it deals with the World Series. Now, this is not an exact one, is it, Sarah?
No, a couple of these aren't exact, a couple of these last ones, but interesting nonetheless.
Major League Baseball also has their own election rule in a press release. The league noted that about three-fifths of the time, 59%, that the American League team won the World Series, the Republican candidate won the White House. Likewise, 67% of the time that the National League team won the World Series, a Democrat won. Giants, of course, beat the Tigers in four straight. Rule not totally accurate, but the theory is correctly predicted the last three elections. Swing states and the home team. Research shows that voters in a college team's home county reward the incumbent if the local team wins 2 weeks before the election, consistently in every election from 64 to 2008. On the average, the researchers found a victory by the hometown team 10 days before the election resulted in incumbent candidates receiving an additional 1.6%. Because, look, the populace is happier. A victory by an avidly followed perpetual powerhouse team, Ohio State as an example, it has the effect of 3.4 percentage points in bounce. But when that team is on probation and can't go anywhere, what does that do? I have no idea.
I mean, that is a great point. I think they used Ohio State because, of course, Ohio, a big swing state in this election, most elections, but this one especially, too. But that is a great point.
Well, I mean, in other words, in talking to Ohio State fans, they're excited their team's winning, but they know the season ends with Michigan. They're not going to a bowl game. They can't play in the Big Ten championship game, so there's not that march to the sea. You know what I mean?
Well, let's see how it plays out today.
Okay. Now, almost every time the Lakers have played in an NBA championship during an election year, win or lose, the Republican candidate has gone on to the Oval Office. 52, 68, 72, 80, 84, 88, 2000, 2004. Now, the Lakers were in the NBA championship against the Celtics in 8, you know, and the Celtics won.
Right, so that was not, that doesn't follow
that's,
this.
And that's a cross-out.
Right. And this year, it's not applicable, so.
Right. It was the Miami Heat were in the final this year against Oklahoma City. So there you go. They're sports and politics in an attempt to mix. We'll find out tomorrow, we think. Are we sure we're going to find out by tonight?
Who knows? It could be another month. It depends.
Yeah. I know. Oh, boy. Yeah. So we'll find out if that plays out.
Yeah, we'll have to look back and see. If any of these are right.
Yeah, tomorrow on the show, we'll have Mitt Romney. No, I'm just kidding. Tomorrow on the show, we'll have Nate Mink, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Greg Sharp, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska football, will be on with us on Thursday. And then we'll get Patrick Chambers on as well. How about that? Oh, and Gennaro Armas from Associated Press is going to join us as well. So we have a lot going on. A lot going on. So when is Kevin's return going to take place?
I'm not sure he actually has a specific return date at this point in time. We're in the week of brand power right now, which was postponed thanks to Hurricane Sandy. So that's like a big sales push here. And I visited there this morning, and they're doing a great job collectively.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised they're collectively doing a great job. That's a great staff. And we already know what Kevin's brand is. So, all right. So that's what they're doing, huh? Yeah. Our number 1-800-795-9565 in the Lenape Solar Hotline. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. Back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after. It is a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. No excuse not to vote. Weather's not going to hold you back. You asked me if I voted. Did you vote?
I did. I voted this morning, and at my polling place, I was number 150, voter 150. So that wasn't too bad.
Yeah. I was number 82 at my polling place.
Okay, you were early. You were early.
Oh, yes. I was number 82. So I took care of that this morning. And then the woman in front of me, she couldn't get her ballot to feed into the machine. Right? I was like, let's go. Let's go. Is it this side now? Is it this side now? Shoot, machine's temperamental. I'm thinking to myself, temperamental. Just hit the thing on the side. Obviously brought in by the UN. No. Yeah.
Well, at least the sun is out today. I mean, that is something we haven't seen for about a week.
Yeah, it's great. I was kind of, what is that yellow object in the sky? I mean, it's beautiful out.
Right. I'm not saying it's warm, but.
Oh, it's not warm. You know what's the odd thing about, I'm going to Nebraska Saturday for the game. It's going to be 70 degrees at kickoff.
Now that is crazy.
I mean, now the temperature, once it gets dark there, it's going to drop. All right, it's going to drop into the 50, into the 40, and so forth. But a kickoff, which is 2:30 out there, so there's going to be 2 hours in daylight out there. It's going to be 70 degrees at kickoff. So I talked to a guy out there today. He says, you guys got lucky. I think to myself, finally.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I still have to go back there for basketball, so I know I'm going to get a dose of it. Somewhere. Oh, you know, the oddity is when I went there for basketball last year, it was last January. Actually, it was in the 50s then, too. So, you know, but believe me, I've been out there when it's been really cold. There's nothing to stop the wind out there. Good football team, too. Really good football team. Bill O'Brien had his teleconference today. And I was on a Nebraska talk show earlier today. And they asked me, you know, what did I learn out of listening to the two press conferences? And I said, nothing. You don't learn anything out of press conferences. You know, I said, what? I mean, when do you learn anything out of a press conference? Everybody's guarded as to what they say. It's all nice things about the opposing team and so forth. I mean, when's the last press conference that you went to on anything, news or sports, where you walked away and go, "Oh, I learned something there."
Right. That's not typical. And I say this all the time as a person that interviews people. You know, the interviewee, they're just going to say what they want to say and pretty much what you want to hear, especially coaches before a game at that time.
Well, you know who's the worst at that I ever dealt with? And I personally like him, but like, no matter what you asked, hey, the sky's blue today, and they just start talking about their defensive backs. Lou Holtz.
Right. I think that's exactly what it is. It's, you could ask anything, and they're just going to answer how they want to answer about what they want.
I mean, it's amazing. It's really a beautiful day out there today. Our defensive backs are playing great.
Really?
No, I'm talking about that, Lou. And Lou Holtz, I mean, that of all the guys I interviewed in my career, he's the one guy that no matter, I always felt like, you know, like after I interviewed him the first time, the next two or three times after that when I interviewed him, I was like, it doesn't really matter what I ask him. It just depends on what he's in the mood to talk about. You know, so. You got to deal with it like that sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time. Well, in the newsroom,
it does.
Yeah, in the newsroom today, Allie Stevens very upset about the Eagles yesterday. She is our diehard fan, and now Andy Reid says, "Hey, we're going to come back though," so Allie feels happy, but I'm not 100% sure that's going to happen.
Allie, your team last night stunk.
Well, she knows that. Is there any way to console her?
They did get almost 450 yards in total offense last night, 447. But when you go 0-for-5 in the red zone, that's an eyebrow raiser. That's an eyebrow raiser. Doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, especially on a team that has Macklin, Celek, DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy. It's not a team offensively devoid of talent. That's the biggest, I mean, that's, if Allie's upset, that's the biggest reason why. if you have a team that doesn't have talent, you can be frustrated because you're like, oh, right, you know, we're never going to get to anything until next year. But when you have a team that has talent, and not only that, they went into last night's game knowing the Redskins lost, the Cowboys lost, and the Giants lost. They had all the incentive in the world to win. And they turned in a performance like that. And now they're saying they may have been too hasty with Juan Castillo. Really? Really? So that's what you have in Philadelphia. I mean, they had a golden opportunity last night, even though it's on the road in a tough place to play, against a team that also was talented, but still in a little bit of disarray. And they turn in a performance like that against them. Now, Andy Reid does say the Eagles can turn the season around. And he's staying optimistic, which I don't blame him. If I'm in his spot, I'm saying the same thing. Okay? Vic was sacked 7 times last night. Hit on 18 of his 53 dropbacks, so the offensive line's killing him. Reid says the Eagles are off by just a little bit. I watched that game last night. It's a little bigger gap than he realizes. But last year they did finish strongly, and they ended up 8-8. They finished a game behind the Giants and won the Super Bowl last year. So we'll see. News is next. We think there's an election today. Polls are open, by the way, till 8:00.